This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hello and welcome to The Rest Is Football with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. We're in the middle of the final international break, obviously, before the Euros. And the three of us all had a special treat on Saturday night. We were all at Wembley for the England-Brazil game in the Royal Box. And when I say a treat, I'm talking about everything around the game, not necessarily the game itself. But there was a special event on to celebrate the life of Terry Venables and the Euro 96 squad that he, of course, coached. And our very own Alan Shearer even picked up his legacy England cap. Tell us what that is, Alan, because I haven't got one yet.
Have you not got one yet? Have you not?
No, I didn't even know it was a thing.
Well, yeah, I wasn't quite sure what it was as well. I had to do some digging about it's apparently I'm the 1,040th person to have represented England, and that's what the legacy cap is. I haven't got a clue when other numbers are, but I'm apparently the 1,040th. So
it, I think they do it in terms of ability, Alan.
That's a good point, yeah.
Maybe that. I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed it because there were a lot of old footballers there, people I hadn't seen for years, some people I hadn't seen for decades. You know, the like, I hadn't seen, I don't know, David Platt for 15, 20 years or so, probably. He was there, we had a good chat. David Seaman I've bumped into a few times. Tony Woodcock was at our table. I've known Tony for a long time. He was in the first squads that I got in with England. Pete Shilton was on our table as well. I mean, I've kept in touch with Peter over the years. And of course, Gazza.
Gazza
was there, and he seemed well and in good form, silly as ever. It was funny when he went to get his legacy cap on the stage, because it was all the players from the 96 Euros that were getting them. And when Alan was called up, he started doing your celebration. Do you see him out? putting his arm up in the air, and we were saying he's going to do something silly with his cap, and he immediately turned it the wrong way around and started doing that silly salute thing. It was quite funny, but it was great catching up with a few old faces, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. Same as what you were, guys. I mean, I haven't seen so many of that squad, the 96 squad. And, and Peter Shilton, I had a reminisce with him back from our Southampton days when I was there in 1988 and he was there. And everything other than the football, it was a great night. Some great stories. We're telling some great stories. We're all going over what happened in pre-96 when we were in Hong Kong in China, going through that bar story in the dentist chair. And we had a right good laugh. It was great seeing everyone.
You were saying who was there and who wasn't there at the dentist chair night, weren't you?
Yeah, we were all seeing who was there, and Stuart Pearce was quick to remind us that he was not one of them. Gareth Southgate was not one of them. Tony Adams was not one of them. I don't know where he was, but he certainly wasn't in the dentist chair of Jamie Redknapp, Steve McManaman, and of course Gazza. And I was hiding in the corner somewhere.
Yeah. Stayed out of trouble as always, Alan, eh?
Well, yeah, I just seen someone getting some cameras out and some zoom lenses, and I thought, yep, I'm off.
Micah, you got a late invite, didn't you?
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. For those who are watching or listening, as we're doing both now, Alan and Gary was showing off in the group all week. Oh, yes, we've got a 96 dinner. You know, a couple of the old boys are going to be there. It'd be beautiful to go. Not one of them decided to invite me. So you know what? I thought, let me spread my wings a little bit. I'll speak to someone at the FA. See if there's any seats going for the game.
Oh, I thought you got an invitation. I didn't realise you begged for it.
Do you know what he said? That's what he said. He said, I know Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer. Is it possible for me to come?
I said, we do a podcast together. I mean, but honestly, it was unbelievable. You know what Gazza said to me? Gazza was there, and he looks brilliant. Yeah. He sounds back to his very best. You know the Gazza that we've seen? Yeah. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he comes up to me, and first of all, he calls me Miguel?
Mikkel, he called you. Mikkel.
He calls me Mikkel, sir.
I'm like, he'd be called a lot worse.
You're lucky
so
you got
buzzing,
close.
Even buzzing, even knows who I am. But anyway... Yeah. He comes over to me, he goes, when I was first watching Match of the Day, I thought, who the fuck is this Miguel? And he goes, and then actually, I thought to myself, this guy knows his stuff. So good on, I think he said, well done and good on you. There was his words, you know what I mean? So it was just brilliant. What a guy he is. The first time I've met him properly, where I had a conversation with him, and I can understand for you guys being around him, it must have just been amazing.
It was hilarious, hilarious most of the time. Yeah. I mean, he was something else. But I mean, the main reason we were all there, of course, was that it was a tribute, not just the England game, but it was a tribute to Terry Venables. And it was lovely to see his kids. I haven't seen them for a long time, and I had a nice chat with them. And actually, they all said that they really appreciated and enjoyed the podcast that we did when we did the tribute after he lost his life. So that meant a lot. I mean, I saw them so regularly when I was in Barcelona. They were a lot younger then, obviously, as were we all. But it was lovely to see then. And you could feel in the room the affection, the love and the warmth towards Terry Venables and how genuine it was.
And rightly so. I mean, everyone was, as I said, was telling stories about the great man. It was such a great turnout. I mean, you know, often, I don't know, at funerals or it's when you see most people, isn't it? Either funerals or weddings, whatever it is.
As you get older, it's more funerals than weddings.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it was great to have the tribute to him for what he's done and what he achieved in the game. And I think it showed last night and the love and the passion and everything else that everyone had for him and how everyone appreciated what he sort of did for that individual person throughout their career, and everyone had their own story.
And it was a good turnout as well. I think of Teddy Sheringham and Darren Anderton and you know, lots of people, Jamie Redknapp.
Absolutely, yeah. Tony Adams, David Seaman.
Tony Adams turned into a character, hasn't he?
I didn't think anyone was going to have a word on there because we might not get a second to speak when he was asked a question on stage. Just carried on and on and on, but it was a great turnout for a great man.
Can I just ask you, Alan, about your voice? So for those who weren't there, basically they played a clip from Alan about 20 years ago, and your voice then...
What has happened? I know, I was even thinking, that doesn't even fucking sound like me. Who is that idiot?
Well, there were no swear words in there.
Talking about? Yeah, that's true, yeah. I was thinking, who is this idiot talking?
He was so softly spoken, wasn't he, Mike, as well? And like, well, you know, I was when I was a little boy.
Whatever happened to him?
Oh my God. Now we've got Sweary Alan.
Yeah, we've got Sweary Alan. Mikey, you sat next to David Moyes throughout the whole game.
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
most of the time he just was saying, come on, get Paqueta off.
Yeah.
Give him a rest.
I mean, it was so nice, you know, sort of, because we know Moisey and what he's done within the game at Everton, and then obviously went over to Sociedad, didn't he? And then he went to West Ham, and then he come back to West Ham. So he's had a great career. But I feel as though he doesn't always get the appreciation he actually deserves. In terms of, obviously, West Ham not winning something for so long, and then he comes and wins, and now the expectation is different. And just, I don't want to sort of go into what we were talking about tactically and all that sort of thing, because I feel like it was a personal conversation. But it was great to see his knowledge of the game while basically just wanting his players to come off the pitch. He wanted them ready for the rest of the season. But yeah, I just, his wisdom within the game was brilliant to hear.
Was he asking for your insights, Michael? Was he?
No, he wasn't asking for my
was
insights.
Was he not?
Not no into insights. Football anyway.
He didn't ask for no insights whatsoever. But, yeah, it was a really good conversation about football.
Yeah. As for the game itself, well, it was a little bit flat, wasn't it, really? It had that real friendly feel to it. I know there are a few players missing for particularly England, but it was never really got going, did it?
Yeah, but was it me, or did Wembley just lack atmosphere?
Well, nothing happened in the game. That's probably
No, but I just thought it was... I don't know, I was really disappointed in the atmosphere. I mean, you're playing the great Brazil, they've got some amazing players, and I thought everyone would have been up and it would have been a brilliant, really excited atmosphere, but it wasn't. I thought it was very flat, and most of, if not all of the chanting and singing, the atmosphere came from the Brazilian fans.
Well, the band was playing at the time, the English band, weren't they? But I sometimes, you know, you need a little, the fans need to be motivated by what they see on the pitch, don't they? And it was pedestrian, wasn't it? What can we read into that particular game, do you think?
I don't think we can read too much into it in terms of, because when you've got key players, Saka, obviously, Kane was out as well. But I think when you're having a friendly, and look, where obviously Alan's been a manager and he might tell us different, but in a friendly, you want to try things just in case. And I have been a big fan of Southgate for long, and a lot of people have criticised him and called him negative. And at times, I believe we could play with a single pivot instead of a two, you know, and sort of experiment. That's what friendlies are for at times. And I just feel sometimes it can be a little bit safe. Like Foden out on the right, and we've talked about this so many times. I mean, when the game is like that and he's isolated on the right-hand side, it just doesn't work. And especially, it's not going to work for England. There was a little bit of a link-up with him and Bellingham at times that looked real creative. But I just thought, in this game against Brazil, a team which are known for attacking, it could have been more of an end-to-end affair where we could have showcased more what we could do attacking-wise. That's what I would say from that game.
I think there's an element to Gareth Southgate's thinking that, you know, to be offensive is great and you can have brilliant performances, but to win a tournament, you need to be pragmatic. I'm not so sure these days that's still the case. I think the game has moved on a little bit now, and all the teams that are successful, certainly at club level, are the ones that are very offensive, very attacking, dynamic in the, you know, if you take Liverpool, for example, possession-wise, if you take Manchester City, and winning the ball back in high positions, and it's not always easy against teams like Brazil. But I just wonder whether, you know, just be a little bit braver in terms of, you know, their midfield areas, because, you know, take the great Spanish team that won three consecutive tournaments, two Euros and the World Cup. They, you know, the best form I think, of a, you know, defence is it's by keeping the ball and maintaining it. And that's all, obviously Pep Guardiola's thing. I mean, for example, I never really saw John Stones break into their half hardly at all, other than go up for corners and stuff, where we've seen him in a position now where he just kind of, you see him all over the pitch, don't you? So, you know, would you want to copy a little bit of those sort of tactics? Or do you think, right, no, this is the way I'm playing. It's got us very close so far. We keep knocking on the door and eventually it will open.
My counter argument to that would be, I totally understand and I totally get that. And there's lots of that I agree with. My one thing I would ask you, is there a part of him and certainly part of me that doesn't think we are great defensively, particularly when Kyle went off injured? I think he's obviously a key to what everything England will do, and he's key to what Man City do because of how he is. But I just think in terms of defensively, I think that's one of the reasons why he may be a little bit reluctant to say, to go all out and attack. And he feels as if he needs that extra protection because they're not good enough as a back four.
I agree, and I think it's a fair point. But if you look at the teams which Gary is alluding to, so you have Busquets, obviously one of the best in that role, and I'm not comparing him to Declan Rice to Busquets, but he's been doing that job really well for Arsenal in the first part of the season. He's been a bit more offensive in the second half of the season. But the great thing about Spain was they kept the ball. Xavi, Iniesta, David Silva, Fabregas, they're not like massive, you know, units in the middle of the park who are just going and making challenges. I think now with the players that we have, Bellingham, Foden, Madison, Rice, you know, these are players who can deal with the ball now. So yes, I agree with you, Al. Definitely. I think maybe subconsciously we just think we've got to have two in there. But when you've got this modern day talent who are a lot better technically, maybe than the previous, but I won't even say that much better technically, probably more brave on the ball than the old guard, I would say, well, yeah, we can defend while keeping the ball, starve the opposition of the ball. That's what I would say.
Well, he played kind of Gallagher in that role, didn't he, that perhaps Henderson's played in the past. And he, you know, he works his socks off, Gallagher. There's no question about that. He's, you know, he closes down well, he presses well, he runs back, he chases. But, you know, when he had the ball, he gave it away a lot. So therefore, that puts you under pressure defensively. Now, if you've got a player in there, say, you know, you could play Rice as like the pivot, and then either side you could play, you know, take your pick really, couldn't you? You could play Foden and Bellingham, or you could play Madison and Bellingham and Foden outside, and you wouldn't give the ball away. You might be slightly more vulnerable in the defensive aspects of things, but I think the players can buy into the fact, you know, you watch Madison at Tottenham, for example, Madison, who chases and harries and wins the ball back. Phil Foden at Manchester City, like they're all absolutely kind of programmed to win the ball back immediately, and they work really hard. So I'd like to see perhaps on when we play Belgium a little bit more, you know, have a look at things that way. You know, if someone like Trent Alexander-Arnold would fit, he could, you know, play perhaps alongside Rice, and he's got that technical ability that, you know, that might be the answer. Now, obviously, people say, well, he's, you know, his weakness is defensively, but that's as a fullback, and that's different, isn't it? In midfield, you don't need to be unbelievable at a one-on-one with someone like Mbappe, for example. So, you know, that would give you a string to your bow.
I think you will see that. I think he'll be very reluctant to play players in the both games because he'll get the managers screaming at him, and he understands that the players have played a lot of games and players will have a lot of still games to play in Europe and league and everything else. So I would imagine it'll be wholesale changes on Tuesday. And I agree with that also. That's what these two games are for, isn't it? I suppose is to for him to have a look and to look at different things. But also we got to remember that two of our best players in terms of Kane and Saka were not available. And I don't care who or what you are, if you're missing two world-class players like those two, you're going to miss them. And England did that. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Of the debutants, of the new boys, the ones who haven't played very much, who impressed you? I thought Anthony Gordon did well, Alan, for your Newcastle. I thought he did well.
I thought the best three players for England on the night were Anthony Gordon, in no particular order, Anthony Gordon, John Stones and Jude Bellingham.
Agree.
I thought Jude Bellingham, particularly first off, was on a different level to anyone else. He got kicked to pieces. Every time he got the ball, they fouled him because they knew what a danger he was. I thought John Stones was excellent. And I thought Anthony Gordon did everything he could do. He looked a threat. He worked so hard. He tried to cut inside on the right foot and had a couple of dangerous efforts. So I think he was without doubt one of the few positives on the night, and he can be very pleased with his debut.
I think when you get a little sniff of things, particularly when you're up against someone that's always going to play like Harry Kane, you know, it's difficult for Ollie Watkins, and he's, you know, he's feeding on scraps. There's no question about that. But he made good runs, you know, held it up reasonably well. But you know what it's like in those situations, and you feel like you need to score, you need to make an impression, don't you? Just to ram it home to the manager or the coach.
He had that one chance, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he blasted it over the bar. Other than that, you're right, he was feeding on scraps, didn't hardly get any service for him. So that would have been a really frustrating night for him, because he would have been desperate to make his mark and get a goal and say, yes, I am the man. If something happens to Harry, I'm the man to play. But it was a frustrating night for him.
I suppose Ivan Toney will get a game, will he, Tuesday, do you think? That seems sensible, because he didn't get looking in this one.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Who impressed you, Micah?
I'd probably agree with Alan as well. And Al's talked about more tactical sort of thing. It's more his willingness, because if you look back, you forward a year ago, was that Everton? And things were up and down. He was sort of treated as though, from Everton fans, like, if you want to go, then go. Then he was linked with Chelsea for big money, and everyone was talking about he's not worth anywhere near that money. Then he goes to Newcastle and then performs after last year being the player of the tournament for the 21s and just focused on his game. And I think that needs a lot of praise, because that shows character. That shows that you, even in difficult times, you can overcome them and believe in your ability. And yeah, I have to give him credit for that. And to go to a big stage and still perform against Brazil, you know, might not Brazil of old, but it's still at Wembley against Brazil, to have the character to do that. I just thought, yeah, fair play to you.
Yeah. How did you, Kobe Mainoo made a bit of an impression when he came.
Yeah, he did.
He looked very much at home, I thought.
He did, yeah. He looked really, really comfortable. He just went under the pitch and said, his attitude was great. I thought, give me the ball, let me show what I can do, and wasn't fazed at all, and looked really, really comfortable and impressed, yeah.
Yeah, there's one little bit where he got it and he kind of turned them, and that you just thought, ooh, that's a little bit of class, right, Micah?
It's classy though, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about him so much, haven't we? I just hope he can do it consistently. We don't have one of those talents where we hype him up and then basically, for whatever reason, maybe injury or whatever, because I think we've got something special there.
Talent-wise, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've got something special, because normally when a young player comes on, it's like, oh, he's really quick, or he's really strong, or he scored a long ranger. But it's more his game management and how intelligent he is that impresses me. So yeah, keep it going, and we've got a real star.
Yeah, he just gets it, doesn't he? Alan, do you play against Brazil?
Yes.
How many times?
Yeah. maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4, but I know what's coming, Gaz. No, I don't think we did, no. By the way, Brazil were in the tournoi.
Did you beat them?
No. But we did win the tournament.
Have you scored against Brazil, Alan?
Let me think, Gaz. No, I fucking haven't, and you know I haven't.
I know. I just had a look this afternoon.
Have you?
Well, I missed a penalty against them, obviously.
In the
other two games, I got the winner when we won 1-0, and I got the goal when we drew 1-1. So, a couple of goals. But I did. The first time I played against Brazil, I was wearing I had trouble with my Quasar boots. You remember the deal? And on this particular occasion, again, I had a massive problem. The kind of the sole fell off shoe in the warm-up. And I hadn't got a spare pair because you didn't in those days. It's not like now. They probably have about who knows how many pairs of boots and they're all light as a feather. So I had to borrow one boot and I borrowed Bobby Robson's boot because he was the only person with the same size as feet that had a spare boot. And I scored a goal in one Adidas boot that was Bobby Robson's and one Quasar boot that was
Bobby Robson's.
Bobby Robson, yeah, it was he wasn't wearing them because he was suited and booted, but he had his boots. Really? And I've got there's actually a picture you can see. It's a diving header, but you can see my 2 feet with odd boots on. Yeah,
Can you imagine going into a game against the mighty Brazil wearing fucking Quasar boots?
I don't know whether you can see this.
Yes,
different. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Odd boots.
But Gaz, don't you remember yesterday there was a lovely stat about yourself, wasn't there? You said you was going to keep it pocketing until Tinder. Don't you remember? Come on.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't my stat, but it was obviously the chair of the FA was she was speaking and very kindly gave me a mention as the England player with. Sorry about this, Alan. The most World Cup goals. And she said, actually, I've scored 10% of them. 10%. Now, my maths are all right, but I can work out that 10%, having scored 10 goals means that we must have scored 100 England goals in the World Cup. How many did you get, Alan?
One World Cup, 4 games, 2 goals.
2 goals. So you've got 2%. So that's not too bad. That's not too bad.
Did she manage to get your name right?
I think so.
I thought it was Terry Sheringham and Jerry Redknapp.
Oh, Jerry Redknapp was quite funny, wasn't it? She did correct herself immediately.
It was just
a stumble. So we shouldn't feel too disheartened about England losing that game and looking forward to it.
No.
I mean, they were very clever. You mentioned it, Alan, weren't you? Very clever tactically, the Brazilians. Every time a player got it and they just a little foul, not enough to get a yellow card, but just to break the play constantly, wasn't it? Which actually, it made the game a little bit drab, didn't it?
Slowed the game down. Very clever, very tactical. I quite like them, particularly in forward positions. I mean, Paqueta, him and Vinny Jr. I thought were brilliant, weren't they? But yeah, I wouldn't take too much from that game. I wouldn't lose any hope in anything I've said or thought over the last few weeks, months about England's chances in the Euros.
They're so different in tournament football as well, isn't it? It really is.
Absolutely.
We have to give a quick shout out to Gomez of Wolves. Mm. Oh my word, what a player he is, by the way.
He is, isn't he? What a talent.
I didn't have the team sheet and I didn't have my glasses on. So one of the producers, John, I was like, who's that one? Is that number... He said, stop being daft. You know who that is? And I couldn't actually see until I got my glasses on. And Gomez, he is a player, by the way. And we don't get to see Wolves so much on TV. We see him on Match of the Day and all that. But seeing him up close and personal, his touches, like his anticipation when he's winning the ball back and then his weight of ball forward, Sorry, Wolves fans. Yeah, he's going to the top, that lad.
Yeah, it's probably not the greatest Brazilian side in history, but they still got some talent.
Mm-hmm.
They really have. Vinicius Junior, every time he gets it, is a massive threat. You know, Rodrigo up front's lively as well. And the youngster that's just gone to Real Madrid, Endrick, came on and obviously scored the winning goal. Was he 18 years old? Is he something like that? Yeah.
17, I think.
17. 17, yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
17, yeah. I mean, brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what you want, a nice little tapping that you can't miss. Just
don't mind those, do you? Imagine that. I mean, it's already the hype around him, isn't it? I mean, for a 17-year-old and about to be at Real Madrid and scored last night and what have you. So,
and he missed missed a sitter at the end as well.
He did.
It was Brazil's night. For those that didn't play, they'll be probably disappointed on the night, but now after it, probably thinking, might have done me a favour not playing in this one. I would imagine most of them will play against Belgium. It's Tuesday. And, you know, there's opportunities for someone like maybe Madison to make an impression. Ivan Toney, we've talked about. It really is, isn't it? If you can grab the game by the scruff of the neck.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, with footballers, like, it's, you know, if you don't play a game, then you're upset or whatnot. You go into England with friendlies, you're going to get an opportunity at some stage. But for some reason, when you don't get the nod to play, it just takes it out of you for whatever reason. Like you said, if someone doesn't perform, we're thinking, oh, okay, we've got another chance here. And that, just that mindset of constantly having to battle with, am I going to play? Am I going to play well? The scrutiny is absolutely massive because it's England. If I do a bad touch, are people going to say I'm not good enough? If, you know, Harry Maguire, not that I'm bringing Harry Maguire into it, but when he didn't get punished for that opportunity, yeah, when he took that back. You know, all these things are going through your head and he's just like, then you've got to turn up and take your chance. That's what I miss about football.
Tell you one other thing as well. All those players sitting on the bench last night, the players in their position on the field, they'd have all been hoping they had a shocker. It's true though, isn't it? It's not something they'll ever admit until they've finished playing. But you do, don't you? Because you want that place and you don't want, you know, if you're Harry Kane, there's no way he would have wanted Ollie Watkins to score a hat-trick last night. No way.
No chance.
He's mad like that.
He'll never admit it.
Oh, so is what you were saying? Is that how it was between you guys? So when Alan exploded onto the scene,
we didn't really overlap enough. We didn't really.
He was over the hill when I came into the England squad. He knew he was getting kicked out.
I was up. And that hill was Mount Fuji. And on that note, let's take a breather.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to The Rest Is Football with Micah Richards, Alan Shearer and me, Gary Lineker. We've talked enough, I think, about England. Let's move it on to other countries and one in particular, Wales, who are endeavouring to qualify as well. Scotland and England already there, of course. Terrific performance, beating Finland 4-1 on Friday. They're now facing Poland in, well, you know, do or die game, really, at Cardiff, which is home advantage, which will massively be in their favour. You know, they've put themselves in a position where they could qualify again for a major tournament.
I hope they do it because I think it would be a better tournament for them being in it because they create such a great atmosphere. The Welsh fans, we've sampled it before. We know what they're like. And you just said it there. To have this chance at home, I mean, it couldn't have worked out any better for them. To beat Poland, to get to the Euros, what an incentive. And it will be absolutely rocking. And that's a huge advantage for them, no doubt.
They did well the other day. I mean, it's always great if you can get an early goal in those sort of games, settles the nerves. And they scored, didn't they, after 3 minutes, Brooks with that goal. And they've got some talent in that side. You look at a team like Poland, and obviously they've been reliant for many years on Robert Lewandowski. And I suppose in the same way, Wales have been reliant on Gareth Bale for a long time until obviously he's hung his boots up now. So if they can, you know, stop Lewandowski from scoring, their chances will be great.
Yeah, I think with Wales, you know, when you've got Bale and Ramsey and Bellamy and Giggs over previous years. He's always had someone to sort of look to and be the leader of this camp. But when I watch, I didn't watch the full game. I watched the highlights, I'll be totally honest. But the way they broke as a team, like so aggressively and at pace, and all sort of knew their individual role, I thought it was outstanding. It's collective. And I think in the Olympics, I played at Cardiff. I think I did. And the atmosphere, like Alan said, is electric. One of the best atmospheres I've ever played in. So in terms of Poland and how they approach it, they've got to go on the front foot. Poland do have some very good players, but I just give the edge to Wales at home. It's going to make a massive difference.
When this all kicked off, what was it? I don't know, 18 months ago, the draw had been made and you had said to Wales, by the way, you've got one game against Poland at home to get to the Euros in Germany. They would have taken your hands off for that. They've got that opportunity and I think they'll do it. I don't think they'll waste this opportunity that's come along for them. So I think they'll do it and I think it'll be absolutely rocking there.
I think Robert Page, he's done a really good job at Wales, hasn't he? He took them to the World Cup. Coming into the job, obviously, under very difficult circumstances as well. But, you know, he's not been found wanting tactically, has he?
He's done well. I think he's done really well. I know he worked with under Ryan, wasn't it? So the opportunity was given to him. The players obviously like him and respect him. And he's done a great job.
And it's always fun when as many home nations teams that we can get there, because it's just, you know, better for broadcasting. It's more fun. There's more games that, you know, obviously matter back home, which always makes a difference to, you know, the morale, the viewing figures, etc. So, you know, if we can get Scotland, Wales and England there, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and we can get Ashley Williams giving you the snus again, can't we?
yeah. All the Welsh pundits will be hoping, come on, Annie, get me a little trip to Berlin.
Yeah, fantastic
trip.
Stuff.
Elsewhere in the a lot of friendlies played over the last few days and will be, because this international break's obviously kind of different to most. It's just the playoff games, but after that, it's all international friendlies. But, you know, Germany, you know, even though they've got home advantage, have not really been considered perhaps one of the favourites for the forthcoming Euros, because they've shown pretty poor form. They lost to Japan recently, didn't they, at home 4-1. But, you know, to win in France, against the World Cup finalists was pretty impressive performance. They were helped by Florian Wirtz, who we've mentioned a couple of times on the pod, and Bayer Leverkusen. Looks an amazing talent. What a goal. After 7 seconds, smashed it in off the underside of the bar.
Did you see the goal? It was incredible, wasn't it? The way he sort of stepped off the defender from the kickoff, got the ball turned and smashed it in from, I don't know, what was it, 20, 25 yards? What a start and what a goal it was for them, yeah.
And do you know that he scored the goal in 7 seconds, which prior to yesterday was actually the fastest ever scored, joint fastest goal ever scored with Lukas Podolski, except for earlier in the day for Austria, Baumgartner scored after 6 seconds.
Wow.
So he wasn't... 2 goals in one day, one after 7 seconds. And you should see that goal. Look that up, everyone. Because he gets the ball at kickoff and he just goes for it. And he dribbles past 3 players and then whacks it in from 25 yards in the bottom corner. It's an unbelievable goal. Amazing. Fancy scoring one after 7 seconds and not even being the quickest to score that day. But you can't... You can never ignore Germany. We know that. But the home advantage as well.
Yeah, it'd be massive, won't it? But it's just the players that they have. I think when we talk about Germany, yes, they've not been at the levels that we've all expected over the last couple of years. But when you've got Gundogan, Musiala, Havertz is back to somewhat his best at Arsenal.
Yeah.
You've got Wirtz as well, we've mentioned. Kimmich, Rudiger. And you've got people like Muller who didn't start. You know, they've got experience within this side. Like, I think it was mentioned in the group, Alan, they potentially could be the underdog for it and just doing their business quietly, you think?
The lack of expectation, maybe helped them, you never know. Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that obviously Julian Nagelsmann came in and got the job, didn't he? After they sacked the previous manager, the first manager that had ever been sacked by the German Football Federation. Nagelsmann had come in after he got sacked, funnily enough, at Bayern Munich. And his record at Bayern Munich stands very impressively compared with the present incumbent. So, you know, he's known for his tactical acumen. He's very young coach, isn't he? Surprising to see such a young coach going to German national team. But they've got a history of picking perhaps inexperienced coaches. Look at Franz Beckenbauer. His first job, I think, in management was the German national side, and they went on to win a World Cup.
Well, Jürgen as well, wasn't it?
In 2006.
2006 as well, wasn't it? They picked him. So I don't think they'll have enough to win it, but they certainly won't embarrass themselves in Germany. There's no chance. They'll be tough.
The two favourites of the competition are England and France, and France, like England, lost at home. But I don't suppose they'll worry too much about that. I mean, I saw the highlights. I watched them, and Mbappe was still a threat. He did some naughty things, Micah.
It's not fair. It's not fair when I watch him. He can't be that quick, that agile, can finish. And now his skipper as well, just to give him the lift he needs. No. He's not. He worries me. He worries me in the Euros. It's the one player, I think, on a day, we've seen him at the World Cup, didn't we? Scoring hat-tricks in finals. But it's the one player, when your team needs you, he can just pull you through. And that's who I worry about in the Euros.
The only thing, we've probably got one of the very, very few fullbacks on the planet. I know he got injured yesterday, Kyle Walker, that can possibly live with him. Although, the years are rolling on for Kyle, but he still looks incredibly quick. We're getting a bit of... Ahead of ourselves. as was a certain French midfield player. I don't know whether you saw it, but he did an interview, Tchouaméni. They were talking about Mbappe, and he pretty much gave it away that Mbappe's joining Real Madrid. Well, that's what he made it sound like. He said something along the lines of, we all think Mbappe's really good, but, you wait till the Madrid fans see him week in, week out. I'm not quite as obvious as that, but it was quite, quite...
Do we think anything different?
We never did anyway.
Yeah.
Of course we did. But, we've talked about that possible forward line, haven't we? The three players, Bellingham, Vinicius Jr. and Kylian Mbappe. Oh, good luck.
And wow. Rodrigo just waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's not fair. Yeah. It's not fair.
We can't avoid this opportunity at any time to not say how you're still sticking with your tips for the Euros, Al.
We will have a really good chance at the Euros. Forget about what happened on yesterday, I should say. But that doesn't change my opinion at all. And it shouldn't change any fan's opinion.
Yeah, tactics are important, but ultimately it's about the talent you've got.
And we have got some talent.
And they've got a togetherness in that squad, which makes a big difference. So there's no need for anyone to feel too down, right, Micah?
Correct. Come on. Keep that positive energy going. It's only a friendly. It's only one loss. We go again.
Okay, that's all for today's episode of The Rest Is Football. We'll be back on Wednesday with our question and answer episode, which is going to be around England this week. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me. Have a great week, everyone.